We've gotten better through the years at recognizing and dealing with child abuse and neglect. We've got agencies and people trained to respond when parents or other adults hurt children, but abuse and neglect still happen. And that's why a number of Oregon agencies and organizations joined forces for something called the Elevating Prevention Initiative, as in elevating prevention to a prominent place. So let's talk about the toolbox and the plans for how to move ahead at elevating prevention and making it a bigger part of the diet, I guess. Pamela Heisler is with the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon, one of the major agencies involved. She's the Director of Programs and Partnerships and our guest on The Exchange. Pamela, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the simple stuff, the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon and what it is set up to do.
Yeah, the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon has been around for just over 30 years and spent most of its time really as a grant maker, so providing funding to local communities to work directly with parents who are struggling and to help their children. And in the last few years, the Board of Directors kind of came to the conclusion that there needed to be more effort to strategize statewide, to push policy change, and to change systems, because the small grants we were making weren't having the impact we wanted to across the state. So they decided to launch this elevating prevention work in order to bring people together and lift prevention up across the state and across programs.
I noticed that in the materials from the foundation, CTFO is a foundation, but the discussion that grants can only do so much, and so there must have been a point at which members of the board, certainly, and I would imagine staff too, were thinking, well, okay, we've done that. What else can we do?
Absolutely. That was definitely the conversation they had.
Okay, so what is the trend in abuse and neglect cases in Oregon? What do we know about how things are generally moving?
Well, in general, the numbers are going down slowly, very slowly, and I know that the state has worked hard to change its practices around how you identify abuse and neglect and bring families into the system and support them. A lot more effort to keep families together at home as much as possible when it's safe to do so. But we believe that it's not happening fast enough, that kids can be protected at home, and there are many types of abuse and neglect where some extra effort on the front end with the families could keep the kids from ever reaching the point of abuse and neglect and coming into the foster care system.
I was going to ask you what the alternative is to keeping families at home, and I think you just said it there, it's the foster system.
Yep.
All right. So the trend going down, but slowly, it sounds like. It really does sort of resist efforts from lots of people, it sounds like.
Yeah, child abuse and neglect is a difficult and complex issue to work on. Families face risk factors for, you know, if there's mental health issues that are untreated, if there's unemployment that really stresses the family living in poverty. Different domestic violence is a huge driver of abuse and neglect, and also drug and alcohol abuse. And those continue to plague our society overall. And we believe that many of those issues can be addressed with families on the front end before they're ever at risk. And that's why we promote programs for young children 0 to 6, so that those early important days of brain development and brain growth, the kids get the best chance to have a good life.
And in fact, we've talked about some studies here in the program where there are actually changes to the way the brain develops if there's stress in the household.
Yes, that's one of the biggest things. You know, the first 1,000 days, there's all kinds of initiatives nationally talking about how important those days are to set the child up for future success, and, you know, even getting into kindergarten ready to learn. So if we want our kids ready to learn by kindergarten and we want them at third grade reading level, we believe that addressing these kids 0 to 3 even is essential to making sure they have the best outcomes. And part of that is making sure their home is nurturing and safe and stable.
Pamela, I noticed that an earlier effort identified contributing factors in child maltreatment. Is it a fairly wide array of things that can lead to child abuse and neglect?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the spectrum is really large and very complex and dependent on the family and also the network of support the family may or may not have, or the available resources in the community. You know, we obviously, you would know, there's many communities that just don't have the sort of services that a family might need, and so they're left floundering.
Can we guess that the stress of poverty often figures prominently?
I think poverty does play into it, but there's a lot of other aspects as well.
What are some of the keys then? I mean, when you're looking for, you know, trying to pick off the low-hanging fruit that is most easily dealt with, what would those factors be?
Yeah, well, this initiative, we really focused around neglect. You know, we hear a lot about physical, sexual, emotional abuse of children, and there's stories in the media that are very prominent and terrible. And then there, but what we know is about half the kids in foster care, they're there because of neglect, and that's anything from lack of stable housing, lack of stable food, untreated medical conditions for a child if the parent just isn't educated and isn't able to really support that child's medical issues. And then maybe the parent has some untreated issues themselves that they need to address. And so those for us are the low-hanging fruit where, you know, we can make sure families have stable housing. We can do that, and we know how. We can make sure families have food on the table and food in the cupboards. And then we can work with parents to address their own, you know, issues or mental health struggles, and also offer parenting education and support, which is one of the programs that we have funded as a foundation for 30 years. And then the most prominent these days and that has the greatest level of evidence is actually home visiting programs, where a trained professional goes into the home, meets with a mother while she's pregnant, and will maintain that relationship for years after the child's born to help the parent cope with, you know, planning for birth, post-birth, how to raise a child in a positive way in maybe ways that they didn't experience as a kid. And that has the most evidence for strengthening families and having children that are, you know, ready to learn and ready to develop.
Is the home visitor a nurse, a social worker? What's the usual background there?
Yeah, there's several different programs that all have strong evidence bases. And some of them are nurses in the nurse family partnership model. But there are other programs where it is more of a social worker who's trained specifically to work with parents and specifically in early child development. And both have a proven track record of helping those moms and fathers, if the fathers are in the picture, develop really strong bonds with their kids and help them develop.
Pamela Heisler is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Elevating Prevention Initiative from the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon Foundation and other groups. Pamela is with the CTFO as Director of Programs and Partnerships. And you can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange about working to prevent child abuse and neglect. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. CTFO, obviously not alone in this. Who are the partners in the EPI, the Elevating Prevention Initiative, Pamela?
We had quite a number of partners. Our hosting partner was Cambia Health Foundation and Portland State University. And this was all kicked off in partnership with the governor's office under Kitzhopper. So it's been a long time planned and coming. But then once we started going, you know, we had a work group form that had everyone from the Juvenile Court Improvement Program to nonprofit providers who are doing this direct service with families, other foundations, and state agencies. So a lot of support from, you know, the Oregon Health Authority, the Department of Human Services, and these agencies who are, you know, seeing these families on the other end. And so the goal was to say, what can all these agencies, organizations, and programs do to address issues on the front end in any little way possible? And so that was the goal of bringing everyone together, recognizing that prevention is important, that it's doable, and what can we all do to join this effort together?
And I notice it all seems to be stated in the positive, exploring the characteristics of healthy, stable, and attached families. So you're trying to give modeling to people so that they will know what a healthy, stable, and attached family looks like. I mean, and then so what are some of the characteristics? And you mentioned home visits, for example, but what are some of the other ways they can be encouraged?
Parents?
Well, yeah, encouraging the characteristics of the healthy and stable homes.
Yeah.
Parents, you have to start with parents, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that, you know, focuses on the parents. When we think of child abuse prevention, we think of wrapping around children. But really, when you're looking at, you know, the 0 to 6, you're talking about their parents in their immediate family, in their extended family. And so we want to see families getting the support they need to be stable. So if parent needs support finding employment, if they are struggling to put food on the table, if they did not have a childhood that taught them what being a, you know, healthy parent looks like, get them into programs and services where they can learn those skills. And what we know from the research and evidence is that parents can learn how to be better parents, to be the best versions of themselves. And we've seen it happen for years now, and that's why we've been funding parent education and support programs for so long, because we see the impact.
Are there ways in which the Elevating Prevention Initiative dovetails with other existing efforts like the 90 by 30 initiative in Lane County, which aims to reduce child abuse by 90% by 2030?
Oh, absolutely. And we had members from 90 by 30 involved in this initiative from the start and on the work group to help us put the recommendations and the blueprint together. We are trying to dovetail this with any effort going on. We have the Early Learning Division and the Early Learning Council, who are also focusing on some of the same population. The new Early Learning Hubs that have popped up all across the state, they are also addressing child abuse and home stability. And so we wanted to make sure that this, in some way, at least captures and brings all that together. And I think there's still work to be done, because this is the first year. But that is definitely the aim, is to bring all of this together into one place and have everyone kind of driving in the same direction.
Is it fair to say, Pamela, that just talking about child abuse and neglect contributes to the sense of at least demystifying it, making it somewhat easier to approach and deal with?
I believe so, and I believe that's what the kind of marketing research that's been done has said. But the thing that we continue to have a problem with is everyone knows about child abuse and neglect now, and they know the types of abuse and neglect, and everyone in general knows to call a hotline and report it if they see it. But that's where it kind of ends. I think we're still, as a society, not sure what to do after that. Is there a role that we have as an individual to support our neighbor, to support our cousin, or even, you know, someone closer in our family if they are not caring well for their children? And that's where we continue to hit roadblocks. And that 90 by 30 initiative out of Lane County, that's one of their biggest things, is what do you do as an individual to alleviate child abuse and neglect and respond to help and support the people around you? And then the next piece is, there's still not a real vision that child abuse is preventable. So our work with this initiative was to drive that home, and part of it will include some communication strategies around making that clear that this is preventable. A lot of these things that lead to child abuse and neglect, a lot of the risk factors families face, we can work on all those, and we know how to address them. And so that's one of the bigger goals underlying this, is to let people know that child abuse is preventable in a lot of cases. Some cases, no. Some are out of the bounds of, you know, what can be prevented. But in so many cases, if it can be, we should be doing everything to prevent a child from ever going through that to begin with.
Pamela Heisler, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Director of Programs and Partnerships at the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon Foundation. We're talking about the Elevating Prevention Initiative, which is an effort that consumed CTFO and several other agencies over the course of the last year. You can join us with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So did you emerge with a set of goals? I mean, there's a blueprint, evidently, for where to move from here, correct?
Absolutely.
And so what are some of the major points there?
Yeah, so out of that, when the group started meeting, they wanted to come up with a vision, a mission, some guiding principles, and how do we make decisions about prevention, about services and funding and advocacy. And we came to some short-term, two-year measures of success. So we wanted to make sure that families with children between 0 to 5 are receiving comprehensive and developmental screenings. Because what we know is that so many children and parents don't get into the door of services because no one's paying, you know, they're not getting screened, they're not getting referred. And so obviously there's issues around the capacity of programs to serve families in need, and that continues. So that goes into our second goal, which is really about increasing the capacity of programs to serve the parents who need it the most. And we know across the state that there are regions and counties where there just aren't services available. So we want to make sure and lift those programs up and begin to meet the needs in the local communities. And then the third really big measure was around this state and local collaboration. And that's what Elevating Prevention is meant to do as an initiative, is bring everyone together across sectors, across silos, you know, including housing and workforce development, and say, what can we all do? We all should have a role to play in preventing child abuse and neglect, because it affects everything down the road for those children, their families, and their future outcomes educationally, employment-wise. And then obviously the very end goal, the biggest, would be the reduction of child abuse and neglect and the elimination of it, if at all possible.
And is it seen that that is likely? I mean, even the 90 by 30 initiative still talks about reducing it 90%, and there was something you said a moment ago that indicated you can't get them all.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you could always have the goal of eliminating it and putting us all out of jobs. That would be everyone's goal, is to work, tackle a different issue, and we don't have to worry about kids being abused and neglected. But the reality is there are issues in our society, and there are some parents and situations where it's not preventable and it's going to happen. So we do have to make sure we have systems in place to support those children, get them to safety, and move them forward in their lives in a healthy way. So So we, I think, across the field recognize that need for those sort of services, but we want them to be small, very small.
You mentioned some communities lacking in services, which prompts the question whether child abuse and neglect are more urban than rural or more rural than urban or pretty much evenly spread across the landscape.
That's a great question. It's really evenly spread. So child abuse and neglect, it's all over the board as far as which regions or areas have higher rates or less rates. Our real focus here is how do we increase the capacity of those local programs so that, you know, in one county, it's not 5% of parents being served. In another county, it's 80%. Let's bring everyone up so that parents have access in their own communities to the programs that will help them support their families and become the best parents possible.
Is there a request for funding from the coming session of the legislature for this effort?
Not at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything you think it'll be put before the legislators next year in the budgetary session?
I think during 2017 session, this initiative will definitely have some proposals on the table as far as whether it's financing or whether it's aligning efforts. I think there's some work to be done to bring everyone to the table. So I do believe there'll be work in 2017.
Okay. So you spent some time in analysis, and now it's time to begin making firm plans to move ahead.
Yes.
All right. Pamela Heisler, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Pamela is the Director of Programs and Partnerships at the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon. Thank you again for joining us to talk about the Elevating Prevention Initiative.
Absolutely. Thank